In today's episode of Baywatch, Mitch and Hobie are trying to find the bum who stole the missing jewels. Meanwhile, CJ just met Van Halen 3 with Gary Cherone, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to find their torn van again. Coming up this week and much more, plus Hulk Hogan's preview of Thunder in Paradise in this week's...
Because your geek history lesson on Baywatch is now in session. Hello and welcome to Geek History Lesson. I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
And I'm Jason Sandy Inman. Welcome to your mind university, because this is the podcast where we take one TV show or a character and explain them in less than an hour. And today we have a very special episode, because if you don't know, there's a movie out there called Baywatch, starring Dwayne Johnson, Zac Efron, and we decided to bring in The Rock's close personal best friend, Nick Mundy.
Hey guys.
On the show.
Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
I haven't listened to a word you said since you said Sandy.
Okay.
Your middle name's Sandy?
Yes.
That's great. that's just the best. I had no idea.
That's right.
I've known you for a couple of years. You don't come across as a Sandy, but now, why do you come off as, why are you Sandy all the time?
Why am I not just Sandy
Inman? But the Grease version of Sandy.
Sandy Inman is like.
Sandy Inman.
A very Jewish 70s agent who retired to, like, Palm Springs.
See, I was going to say a 70s, like, stunt car driver. Like, I worked on Smokey and the Bandit.
Okay. That's true, too. Either way, you're in the industry and you retired to Palm Springs
there
and
you
were neighbors with Liberace for a while.
Yes.
And speaking of sand.
And that's what we're talking about, Baywatch. Now, Nick... Baywatch is kind of off of our brand, or a little bit like off of the nerdy stuff. Can you explain out there to anyone that doesn't know, just in like a couple sentences, what the hell is Baywatch?
Baywatch was arguably the biggest show in the 90s for the world. And it helped a lot of young men in their formative years through their adolescence and their burgeoning sexualities. Which I think was the main point of the show, and also selling Playboy covers. It made a lot of stars out of people.
It did. People that probably didn't deserve to be stars.
Well, look, who deserves to be stars? We're in the internet YouTube culture.
None of us. So everyone deserves to be a star.
Or none of us do.
Or not a single person.
We know some garbage people who do not deserve the success they have. let's give it up to David Hasselhoff and CJ and Pamela Anderson.
For paving that path.
No, for forging their own.
Ooh.
With their terrible acting and sweet bodies and, you know, fun adventure shows.
All right.
I wish shows like Baywatch existed.
Really?
I miss syndicated hour-long dramas.
Just weird syndicated shows.
Yeah, Baywatch, Highlander, mostly those.
Do you remember Cleopatra 2525? Remember that bad show?
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah, I was in 1995, I was in eighth grade, so I watched all of these. Like,
nice.
I didn't watch Xena and Hercules, but I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I did watch Renegade.
Nice.
Because I'm an American. but no, I missed... And Baywatch was the four. So basically, if you're 12, mm-hmm. Baywatch was on syndication. So depending on where you were, it was on different channels at different times.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like the first big hour-long syndicated thing. And this was the forerunner of like Hercules, Xena, Renegade, Highlander. This was like the... Mm-hmm.
Star Trek The Next Generation was like one of the highest watched syndicated shows like for most of the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hercules, I think Xena, like, are the ones that beat it. And Baywatch as well. Yeah.
All right. More of a Baywatch guy instead of Star Trek.
Come on. But there you go. Yeah. All right. Let's move into the first section of our podcast, the 10 Cent Origin, where we basically give you a Cliff Notes version of Baywatch. Now, if you don't know from Nick's excellent synopsis, it is an action drama series. It lasted for 11 seasons. From 1989 to 2001, and originally was on NBC and then went into television syndication. Its two main stars, or the two that I'm going to talk about anyway, were David Hasselhoff as Mitch Buchanan and Pamela Anderson as C.J. Parker.
Such white people names.
Yeah. All right, and let's move into the Meet Cute. Ashley, what's that section?
The Meet Cute is the part of the podcast that we stole from romantic comedy writing, where we tell you how cute it was when we first meted these people.
Nick, remember, this is a family show.
Sure.
What is your first experience or your first memory of Baywatch?
I remember it being somewhat talked about along with Pamela Anderson. And my dad had a Playboy subscription. And I was like, I like her. I would like to see more of her. And then I found this Baywatch show. And then I got caught up into it. Like, I watched it.
Did you watch it every week?
Yeah, yeah. Not like every week, but like, I'd put it on at like 4 o'clock on a Saturday when it came on. Yeah, it was like, sure, I want to see the adventures of like, oh no, because I didn't even have the biggest crush on Pamela Anderson.
David Hasselhoff.
It was Nicole Eggert.
Oh, yeah.
From Charles in Charge and another erotic thriller that came out starring the two Corys called Blown Away. If we ever want to do a Blown Away episode, that's for the show after the show after dark.
It's for Geekish Lesson after dark.
Yeah, Geekish Lesson Blue.
So I had a big crush on, because she was on Charles in Charge and another syndicate show. Because I miss syndication TV shows.
There were more. They took more chances in syndication.
Sure, or at least there was they were always there.
Yeah,
like a friend.
Yeah. But I had a big crush on Nicole Eggert, and then eventually, like as I grew older, I had a new crush on Carmen Electra, and then
I forgot she was on that show.
Yeah, and a crush on the girl who played bass, who I just met in a video I did for The Rock. I forget her name right now, but she played bass on California Dreams.
Mm.
So she was on it. So like as I grew older, more crushes.
Nice.
If Tiffany Amber Thiessen was on that show, it would be the best show ever made.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, she's great. Now she has like cooks for her children and it's wonderful.
She was on White Collar for a long time.
Huh. USA dramas are like
are sort of syndication.
The progeny of these shows.
They gave us Matt Bomer, so I'm very thankful for
that. So did my client. My high school gave us Matt Bomer.
Now, Ashley, have you ever watched any Baywatch or come across Baywatch or
anything? No, I was an actual child when Baywatch came out.
It's still a reruns.
It's a little, yeah, but we don't have cable, Jason. That's right. It was a little beyond my sphere. I had a Baywatch Barbie doll, though.
Really?
I did. And she was like, it was like, you know, the proto like blonde Barbie. And she had the red suit and she came with the red flotation device and it had the Baywatch logo like silkscreened onto the chest.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So that was my entire experience with Baywatch. And I was always in swimming lessons and I would take her into the bathtub with me and she would rescue Batman from time to time.
Oh, so, nice. Like she does.
Yeah. Well, she's very capable, whichever Barbie she was supposed
to represent. It was a pretty progressive show, to be fair. I mean, sure, like they were in scantily clad bathing suits that were probably not utility based.
No, not very functional.
But they kicked ass and saved the day all the time.
That's right.
So I'll take that.
My meet cue for Baywatch is I can remember Nikki brought up in syndication. I can remember that where I grew up in the middle of Kansas, in the middle of the Bible Belt, they would never air Baywatch before 11 p.m. at night.
What?
Stop it.
Not kidding you. They would never, ever be on in the afternoon. So I guess that whoever ran the KODE, the ABC affiliate in Joplin, Missouri, thought Baywatch was too scandalous for the four-state area. And I can remember like... it's funny.
Prudes.
Yeah, it's funny because I can remember watching as a little kid, but then also watching when I was a teenager. And I remember like when I was a little kid and I would see my, and I would stay up late on a Saturday night and my dad would be watching it or whatever, or flip through it. And I'd be like, oh, this is just dumb. It's like so much slow motion. And then as I got older, I was just like, all right, I get it.
This is less dumb.
I get it. I see the reason for the water.
You were like, I didn't know that every beach in Vancouver was going to be such an important part of my TV watching career. But
they filmed it in LA.
But here it is. I thought they filmed it in Vancouver.
No, they filmed it in LA and then Hawaii.
Yep, LA and then Hawaii. They never filmed in Canada. Yeah.
They had them film credits back then.
That's right. That's right. All right, so let's move into the history 101 of Baywatch. Now, this is going to be a little bit different than normal GL, if you can't already tell, because Nick is awesome and we're going to let him fly. But we're not going to give you the full 11-season breakdown of Baywatch because I think that would just break your heads, like this garbage truck going by. It's all good. Now, normally we're going to give a basic overview of the series, but we're basically going to give some fun facts. And any of these fun facts or basic facts, guys, feel free to give your opinions, chime in, anything like you want.
Yeah, here's the overall breakdown of the series.
Oh, let's hear it.
David Hasselhoff is Mitch Buchanan, and a bunch of, like, attractive people saved people and solved crimes. And the occasional, like, kidnapping and jewel stoppage.
Yeah, there's some.
And it was fantastic.
What do lifeguards have to do with kidnapping?
You never know if, like, some like Aaron's stepdad is trying to get revenge against, like, the mom and steals, like, the daughter. And then Mitch is like, hey, I noticed that girl was not happy the time. It was Mitch. Sorry. It was Mitch Buchanan. Oh, man, I get a list.
Yep. So basically, we kind of mentioned this before, that Baywatch was an NBC show. It went for 1 year, and then NBC canceled it. And apparently, when trying to pitch this show, the producers used stock footage of lifeguards and put them in slow motion, and that's what got NBC to buy the show. Slow motion stock footage of lifeguards
on
Venice Beach.
If only it were that easy.
Yeah.
It was back then because of cocaine.
So the show got canceled, but David Hasselhoff and the producers thought there was something to the show, so they worked.
Of course David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, yeah. Well, David Hasselhoff wanted the paycheck.
Well, hold on.
Yeah.
He was a TV star. He was a big TV star.
Knight Rider, yeah.
I was going to say, this is a post-Knight Rider world, so.
Yeah, no, he knew his bread was buttered.
Yeah, yeah. So he helped bring the show back. They sold it in syndication, and that's the reason why David Hasselhoff became one of the executive producers, was because he brought the show back. Now, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Many people don't know that Baywatch led off into a spinoff called Baywatch Nights, a crazy detective show that really has nothing to do with the beach. We can talk about that a little bit later. And also has three direct-to-DVD movies with amazingly horrible titles. Baywatch, Forbidden Paradise.
That sounds like the XXX parody.
Yep. Baywatch, White Thunder at Glacier Bay.
So does that.
And Baywatch, Hawaiian Wedding.
Wow.
Ah, with Mitch and Stephanie Meyer was the actress. No, Stephanie.
The lady who wrote Twilight?
Yeah. Now, Nick, what is your impression of Baywatch Nights? And should any show ever have a night spinoff?
Yes, all shows should have a night spinoff. Yeah. Okay. Take a dumb show.
Okay.
Like
Baywatch.
Okay, what's a show people watch nowadays that this audience watches?
Vampire Diaries?
No, Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
Or like Arrow, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So imagine, take Arrow. Take the cast of Arrow. And then take Arrow, the guy who plays Arrow.
Stephen Amell.
Yeah. Echo Kellum.
Okay.
And some side character from season two. And they start... like an ice cream shop. That's less insane than Baywatch Nights. Baywatch Nights was Mitch Buchanan becoming a private detective for some reason with his cop friend and just an Angie Harmon. And then they solved crimes. And then season two was like, screw it. Let's get monsters and stuff in
there.
Yeah,
there were werewolves and vampires.
Yeah, and it was great. Two. And more TV shows should do that.
Just go create the
more
vampire
TV
season?
Shows should try to ruin themselves. Because it would be a lot more fun.
There, I feel like there would be a big chance for virality in that on the internet now that you didn't have in the 90s.
Oh, like the web series, the night spinoff.
Yeah, or that people would pick up, people would love it, Reddit would love it, the internet would love it because it's so out there and so crazy. And it's unintentionally lampooning this brand that they've built.
You know, I actually really like
it. I don't know if it
idea.
Was.
Oh.
I don't know if it was purposely lampooning.
I don't think it was purposely.
Yeah, but...
I think they thought they were making good TV. I think they did.
Well, that was what's great. It's like earnest terribleness. Now we have like jaded terribleness or like coward
jump cut terribleness.
Yeah, or we have like The Flash doing the same thing over and over again for four seasons or three seasons.
Fighting speedsters.
Now Nick brought up Baywatch Nights. It went a little crazy during the second season, but there's a fun fact that the ratings were modest during its first season, and the producers decided to renew it for its second and final season so that it wouldn't appear that the Baywatch brand was losing any steam. Mm. So they kind of kept it around for Hasselhoff's...
Ego.
There you go, a little bit, which is very surprising for Baywatch. But anyways, let's get to actually the real series, Baywatch. Here's a kind of basic, typical episode, even though Nick already did it amazingly. Basically, every episode involved interpersonal relationships between the lifeguards and then dangers related to the beach. And then everything from earthquakes, shark attacks, pirates, serial killers, jewels...
Like real pirates or like Somali pirates?
Well...
Both.
Yeah, fake LA pirates.
Oh, my God.
And almost every single episode involved a scene where one of the lifeguards saved somebody from drowning. Every single episode.
It's pretty much all you've got as a lifeguard.
Now, in 99, the show was going to move to Australia due to production costs because it was getting so expensive in LA, and then also because the syndication market wasn't doing that well. But instead, they moved to Hawaii for its final two seasons. The show became called Baywatch Hawaii, where it saved money due to an agreement to hire more local Hawaiian workers. Now, here are some fun facts about the series. So Baywatch is really known for its slow-mo shots. And Nick, I would love to hear, I remember so much of Baywatch being slow-motion shots.
You know, that was never, the appeal to me.
Okay.
Oddly, and I know that's been a big thing, and, I've been involved in the marketing.
I was going to say, you can speak to your experience with a slow-motion shot.
Sure. I just enjoyed the action-adventure and witty banter. I said, questioning my life choices.
I mean, they did have a lot of puns, you know, but...
oh, yeah, a lot of puns.
So the slow-mo shots were actually inspired by the Olympics. I'm not kidding. So
Please explain.
So one of the producers on the show had actually been shooting the 1988 Summer Olympic Games, which had captured footage of sprinters at slower frame rates during the 100-meter dash. And they loved them, so they started putting them in Baywatch. And David Hasselhoff later claimed that the slow-mo shots were used to pad the shows that were running short so they wouldn't have to spend more money.
That's so funny.
So anytime they were 5 minutes short, just be like, put in more slow-mo.
That's like in The Simpsons, right? Where they're just like, hit Sideshow Bob with more rakes until we hit 30 seconds.
Yeah. During one of the seasons, they cast professional surfer Kelly Slater as Jimmy Slade. But he quickly...
Stop.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. He quickly left the show because he quotes... He's like, I'd be like, what? There's an octopus that's stealing surfboards hiding in a secret cove and I have to fight them for the next episode? Who writes this crap? He told GQ. And then he asked to be written off the show. Here's a fun trivia question for both of you.
Mm.
A member of the Justice League...
I was just about to tell you.
...appears in Baywatch.
No, not just appears. He was a cast member.
He's a cast member of Baywatch.
Yeah, Jason Momoa.
Jason Momoa is on Baywatch.
I mean, it would have to be.
And then everything's gone downhill since.
He actually, go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, well, it's one of the best parts about Baywatch was some of the guest stars that, or people that became big stars. Because it was a job in LA that it was great if you're a working actor because you were probably going to be on Baywatch at some point.
Was he on the LA seasons or the Hawaii seasons?
The Hawaii seasons.
Okay. Yeah.
But Mariska Hargitay was in it, Michelle Williams, Shaggy.
Oh.
Shaggy?
The singer?
Yeah, it wasn't me from Shaggy.
Oh my God.
Bryan Cranston?
Bryan Cranston is in every 90s show. If you go look, he's in every single one of them.
Young David Spade in 89.
I knew that,
Eric Estrada, which just...
Keep it going.
Why didn't that happen more?
Why wasn't that a Chips crossover? Why didn't the Chips drive up to the Baywatch beach?
To their little little outlook or whatever it is that lifeguards hang out.
We'll be right back. Little Richard, Ric Flair, Big Van Vader, Kevin Sullivan. There was a whole wrestling episode.
Oh my God!
Where C.J. Parker had to help Hulk Hogan and Macho Man defeat Ric Flair. No, hold on.
Yeah.
This is from memory.
Tell us about this mythical episode.
Ric Flair was gonna buy a mansion or some type of rich guy buy stuff or take over the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And he had Big Van Vader full in wrestling gear, Kevin Sullivan in wrestling gear, the bikini briefs and the makeup. And they were terrorizing the beach. And then CJ was like, I'm gonna call my friends. And it was Hulk Hogan and Macho Man and I think Sting. And they were they did a wrestling match on the beach. Yeah, and I think Hulk Hogan saved someone. So it was the best.
If I was going to do a watch through of an episode, that's the one.
No, I think you have to watch
100%.
That.
100%.
Were the wrestlers, when they were screwing people in the beach, were they just, kicking sand on people, you know?
No, they kept it real. Yeah, Hulk Hogan.
Oh, my God.
He's the same color as everybody else in that picture.
Kerryon Moss was in it.
Wow.
Trinity
or Matrix.
All of the people you love and respect were on this terrible show.
Denise Crosby was on that show, apparently. Am I seeing that right?
Yeah, I know who that was.
Denise Crosby is Tasha Yar from Star Trek Next Generation.
She got if you killed watch by more a giant shows, black garbage bag.
Yeah, she got killed by a garbage bag. Yeah, there you go.
Oh, and Star Trek is less dumb than Baywatch.
Some of the episodes.
Jay Leno would show up every once in a while.
Well, he had.
I forget that he was an actor too for like.
He was in a movie with Pat Morita.
Yes.
Oh yes. Yeah. I've seen the commercial for it, and they make a racist joke not 8 seconds into it.
Oh, sure.
Sounds like Jay Leno. Some other fun facts is that Baywatch actors had contracts that stipulated that nobody could gain weight while they were shooting.
Sounds like a typical LA contract.
Yep. And then they used
for you.
40. Whoa. Then they used 40 bottles of sunscreen per month.
That's the thing that I could not imagine. Like, there's a lot of very white people, very fair people on the show. And if you're shooting in, let's say, an 8-hour day because you have a really efficient crew and you're doing great hours. Mm-hmm. You're gonna die.
Yeah, yeah.
In the sun.
And then also, I can't remember the actor's name, but the lifeguard on Baywatch who had the mustache, who was sort of older.
He was an actual lifeguard.
Yeah, he was an actual lifeguard, and they hired him because he was an actual lifeguard.
That's got to be a sweet gig.
It was probably a pretty sweet gig for him. All right, so Nick, Ashley, we're all writers here. We've all written things, certain things here. I'm gonna give you the plot of a basic Baywatch episode. I found this synopsis from season 2 that I thought was ridiculous. And then I thought, let's write our own episode of Baywatch.
Okay.
For like the mythical Baywatch reboot of some type. All right.
Baywatch Nights 2.
Yeah, sure. Now, during the second season, this was the synopsis of the second season premiere. While rowing out in the ocean, Mitch rescues an underwater photographer, Mitch, of course, is David Hasselhoff, named Linda, who is floating on some shipwreckage. Linda's somewhat disjointed, frantic story about something attacking her in an underwater cave, which killed her partner and destroyed her boat, is misconstructed by Kay Morgan, an ambitious, publicity-seeking newspaper reporter who creates...
Fake news!
Yep. Who creates a media frenzy by starting rumors about a creature in the bay. And Harvey Miller, the new lifeguard and prankster, benefits from the events by selling undersea creature t-shirts. That was... a basic plot
so
of Baywatch.
So all the Baywatch people, and it's all the same cast, and they all look like sausages, and that's fine.
No, but Pamela Anderson did not come.
Until later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, with Pamela Anderson. And they go on a work retreat to Scotland, where they wind up protecting Loch Ness and doing battle with the Loch Ness monster.
That's going to be a two-part episode. All right, this is what I'm thinking.
Okay.
Hobie, Mitch's son.
I forget about Hobie.
The world did.
Same actor, or do you cast someone else?
I don't know if you want to do charity. All right, young Hobie. This is like 1992. Young Hobie is going to hot air balloon camp.
Oh my god!
And you know he's getting really good at hot air balloon racing, and unfortunately a parasailing accident. Alf was parasailing.
Alf.
And he cuts the thing. So now Mitch, who is auditioning for a commercial for Isotoner gloves, has to get all the way to the beach from the valley to rescue not only Hobie, but Alf. Meanwhile,
he got a B plot.
Rip Taylor is trying to throw a rival party for the other rival lifeguards, and they're raising money to enter the turf of the Baywatch crew. But that's why they get Rip Torn. CJ calls her other uncle Rip Torn to stop Rip Taylor and the rival.
Can you also make a Larry Sanders joke with Rip Torn?
I wish.
But in that continuity, episode would be amazing.
See, I'd do something like, because I think if Baywatch comes back, it's going to be on like CBS. Or something like that.
You don't think CW is going to snap that right up?
Oh, man. CW would be a good choice. But I'm going to go CBS because I think I'm going to start my Baywatch as a spinoff of NCIS Los Angeles. For some reason, all these bodies are being buried on the beach and they don't know why. They can't figure out. And so they're like, we need to get my expert. Like, I got this expert guy. And it's actually David Hasselhoff looking old as hell. And he pulls up in the Knight Rider car. He pulls up
playing his own album.
Yeah, playing his own album. And he's like the guy that can, find out. He knows all the hiding spots and the secret coves of the beach.
He's the Sherlock of
the multiverse?
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Like, he is like everything. Yeah. Like Chris Pratt shows up as a, Star-Lord. Who cares? Like, we'll go crazy there.
You're doing the Hasselhoff shared universe?
Yeah, the Hasselhoff shared universe.
Which actually sounds more credible than other shared universes being discussed.
But eventually it comes down to like the whole thing is pirates and there's going to be a giant fist fight on one of the atolls or the dinghies, whatever you call those things, out in the middle of the ocean. It's going to be David Hasselhoff versus...
Chuck Liddell.
There you go. Yep, they're a giant fist fight as they're hanging on, going ding, 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 back and forth. As Chris O'Donnell and LL Cool J just wonder what the hell is going on.
If they did reboot the TV show, it would be some boring CBS procedural and not like... At least
like Hawaii Five-0.
Yeah, I think the movie version, what they're doing is like the Jump Street version. That's the smart way to do it. But if you're doing the TV version, it'd probably be pretty lame. Like it would be.
It probably.
Because it wouldn't do the camp stuff because no one does camp
anymore. No one does camp anymore. Yeah, yeah.
Because people are like, why would this show's wrong?
You know, that is something that like we. It's something that like kind of died in the 90s, and I think maybe serialized storytelling television maybe killed that, because there used to be these old shows like the one that pops up in my head is Vegas.
Sure.
Where like the show doesn't have like an overall plot structure. Mm-hmm. The show is just like we're in Vegas and stuff happens.
Yeah.
You know.
But that used to be enough to sell a television show.
That's true. That's
now
true.
You need something relatively high concept. There's exceptions, and I think streaming is where you're still finding vestiges of that.
Well, I think like everything has to be dark, especially like pivoting to like the comic book universes, like where like things have to be like. I'm just thinking of like the Arrowverse, as it were.
You're hanging on Arrow here.
Well, because I watched a couple episodes, and I was just like, I used to watch this stuff because it was like, look, this isn't great, but it's like, it's fine. But now it's just like boring. Which is like the worst thing you could be. And like, it's not, they feel stuck, and probably because they have to write 22, 25 episodes a year. But I'm wondering if we're going to look back and like how we made fun of the camp stuff and like how like overtly wrought and dark
and melodramatic.
How needlessly like,
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how like these current like shows,
they're like evil soap operas.
No, because
it's that level of stakes and interpersonal nonsense. But
like in 10 years, are we going to write like, oh, like Oliver's kid has to be kidnapped again?
Like probably
like we'll make fun of that trope.
Yeah.
Like these are all, oh, hey, Barry's bitch about his parents. guess he's going to mope and just, yeah, no. I mean, I think we're always starting to do that too, because like, it's just boring and as camp as like, whereas we made fun of campy for being ridiculous, like writing out of holes just by being ridiculous and stupid and nonsensical. Now we're just writing boring crap, and it's not as fun.
Well, let me ask you this: if Baywatch was to come back as a TV show, do you think it'd still be set in L.A.? Do you think they'd keep it in L.A.? Because
no, it'd be in Vancouver, but they would set it
in L.A.
They would just call it like Ambiguous Beach City.
Ah, interesting. Like Coral City.
Completely fictional DC level city.
Or something. Yeah. That's interesting.
Think about shooting in Vancouver, though. If you're shooting for a summer show, you have a very short window to get all your episodes done. So hope you have a 13
episode
order.
It'd be shot in Atlanta, where they shot.
You're probably right.
Sure, yeah.
You're probably right. They would exactly.
That's why they shot the movie. Well, that in Miami. Yeah.
They shot a bit of it out here, didn't they?
Did they do pickups out here?
They made it. But they shot most of it out in Georgia.
Oh, wow. All right. So let's – perfect segue there. All right. So now there is a movie starring The Rock. Rock is playing Mitch Buchanan, the David Hasselhoff role. Nick, you have not seen the movie at the time of this recording.
I have not.
But what are your thoughts on what you've seen from the movie? Like you've helped promote the movie and stuff like that. I saw you rub body oil on The Rock for a while.
Sure.
Which is something I think we all wish we could do.
As one does.
But yeah, what are your thoughts on like what you've seen about the movie and how they like have interpreted, you know, this campy classic TV show?
Well, most TV shows that get turned into movies have to know what they're doing for it to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was always a fan of the Brady Bunch, at least the first one.
Yeah, me too.
The first movie. Mm-hmm. I think 21 and 22 Jump Street are probably some of the best comedies in like the last 10 years. I think they're really, really funny. And I think that's what they're doing. And you have Bo Flynn producing, you have Dwayne Johnson, you have Hiram Garcia. Like, and the cast is really good. Like I've seen up close how good the cast is. Mm-hmm. And so they're a bunch of funny people. And a guy named John Bass is probably going to steal the movie.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. You heard it here first.
Yeah. But it's a great cast. Alex Daddario, Kelly Ilfanesh. Great cast. It's going to be great. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be fun as hell. And we don't get – it's going to be fun as hell. And, like, what other movie just looks fun this year?
That's true.
That's a very good
question. Very good point.
It's this and Andy Samberg's HBO mockumentary, like, about cycling.
Like, yeah.
Which I'm very excited about. But that's it. No other movies. Like, Guardians was fun.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Wonder Woman's good. I don't know how, like, fun it is. Like, fun and silly.
Mm-hmm.
But I miss going to fun and silly movies. Last year, all we had was Popstar last summer.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So that's, like, my biggest complaint about, like, how things are. And that part of, like, my nonsensical rant about, like, how things are dark. You don't have fun and silly anymore. And but this looks to be fun and silly.
Nice. All right, well, that is it of the main History 101 of Baywatch, because there just isn't much to talk with Baywatch, guys. So let's go into our discussion, because there's no recommended reading for Baywatch, because you don't read with a show like
that. Oh, did you look up Baywatch novelizations?
Oh, are there Baywatch novelizations?
We should write some.
Oh, my God. Well, I have some questions here. We can do that, Nick.
Sure.
As I was pulling that. Guys, we're going to go into our discussion. If you go over to patreon.com/Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, at any level on our Patreon, we release the topics of our episodes early, and you can give us questions that we will read on the episodes.
Yes.
So we have a question. Find a... Oh, right.
Nope.
There are no Baywatch novelizations.
Well, the owners of the Baywatch brand can hit us up at any time.
Ooh. Baywatch Lovin' Nights. All right, that's my first one. All right, first question...
Stella's a Harlequin.
This first question is... and we sort of dipped into this a little bit, but let's answer it anyway. First question comes from Forrest. If you had to create a super Baywatch-style mini-series event, how would you do it? Which heroes would you use? Would it be a crossover with any other TV shows? And who would you do it with? I know we sort of talked about that.
Alf,
You brought in Alf.
Yeah.
Would Alf just land on the beach?
Alf showed up, in other shows.
Did he? I don't
know. In my brain. Yeah, no, you do it with Alf. Right. You didn't need superheroes back in the Baywatch days. You had real human beings.
That's right.
Like Lifeguard. Kevin Sorbo and Renegade.
Well, Kevin Sorbo didn't play a real human being. He was a demigod.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well,
he was almost Superman.
He was almost Superman.
Oh God.
He was almost Superman on Lois and Clark.
He was the runner up.
That show was bad too.
That show was really bad.
What happened? Why were all those guys like super conservative now?
I don't know if they were then or if they are now.
Or they're all in God's Dead movies.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Your next question comes from Jonathan Bion. I think that's how you say your last name. And this is for both of you guys. What are the pros and cons of remaking old TV shows as movies or rebooting them as new shows?
I mean, the con is that you have a fan base that you're trying to serve, and that is difficult. It's difficult in any adaptation, whether it's books, comics, TV shows.
Mm.
I think the pros about flipping a movie to a TV show like they did with MASH is that you just have more room to explore if you do it correctly. And then if you compress something like they're doing with Baywatch, you can get a really distilled version that has the potential to be a perfect representation of the brand.
Mm. I agree. And was the question like rebooting TV shows into new TV? Like,
no, it's like just what are the pros and cons of remaking old TV shows as like a movie or a
new property?
Making them a new property.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I think like what they're rebooting TV shows into new TV shows, and I don't think any of them have worked.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, X-Files is getting 11 more episodes.
Like, yeah, that's true. I'm intrigued by Roseanne because it's only 8 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you have to keep it short. But, like, I don't know. I think it depends. I like, look, no one wants, like, an Ernest Baywatch TV show.
Yeah.
No one wants, like, even, like, the if it's campy, no one's – people will watch the season premiere and the ratings will, like
– drop.
Get destroyed.
Yeah.
No one cares. Like – so you do a movie with the biggest star in the world, and you enjoy it, and then if it's great, which I'm sure it will be, you do a sequel in a couple years, and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the best way to do it.
The sequel should be Baywatch Nights.
I've been
pitching
that nonstop.
Yeah.
I have told Dwayne that.
The sequel should just go crazy and not even be on the beach. Yeah.
I've pitched that many times.
Well, I hope you get to write it. That's what I'm
going
for. I'm a big fan of, I don't know. I'm a big fan of a reboot of an old TV show if it like takes advantage of something that the original series couldn't take up. And I think the best example of it is Battlestar Galactica, because the original Battlestar Galactica was just a Star Wars copy. It was literally like
Star Wars light.
Yeah, it was ABC being like, how do we cash in on Star Wars? And then the reboot was like, no, there are like some interesting ideas in this show about like the robots and stuff. Let's get it as far away from Star Wars as we can.
Monotheistic robots.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like, look, if you can take a if you can take a shitty show and then like you know, turn it into like a great TV show or something.
Yeah, or it's also the thing like it's this thing like going the opposite, the Stargate movie to the Stargate TV show. Like the pilot episode of Stargate SG-1 is, hey, this thing doesn't just go to one place. It goes to thousands of places. And you're like, oh, that's a good idea for a TV show. Like, so when those reboots take advantage of that.
When you take advantage of casting MacGyver, your show is going to be good.
But yeah. I got to tell you about my Demolition Man TV show.
Yes.
Oh, my God. All right. Our last question comes from Tom Trainer, who asks, I'm curious on Ashley's perspective on the Baywatch franchise in general. Is it too exploitative? Or since the new movie has as much male beefcake as female, is it equal opportunity dumb fun? I'm curious about this.
Look, I've never seen the original, so it's only fair for me to comment on it so much. And I think the original was pretty equal opportunity objectification. I mean, you had a male lead who had less clothes on than anyone else. Mm-hmm. My argument is probably that he is the most like functional and utilitarian character, and maybe that's where some problems lie. But I think the movie...
That's not entirely true.
Good.
Like
tell me, because I don't know.
The thing that I remember, and I could be wrong, and this is the mind of a 14-year-old person, but I'm sure at 14 I was pretty woke. Mm-hmm. That's a word that I just learned.
Yep.
And I'm certainly more woke now, but I remember all of them were really good at their jobs.
Mm-hmm. There was never the nincompoop lifeguard.
Yeah, or like, and none of them like used sex as a, like, none of them really had sex. And if they did, it was like soap opera sex where it was like.
Yeah.
So I think it was like very like beefcake, like beefcake cheesecake factor, like. It was like, hey, you're capable in your job. Okay, I can see all of it.
Yeah.
I can see all of you. But you're capable at your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't have a problem with that if you're going to do it for everyone. I only have a problem with it when, like, the women are the only ones objectified. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you don't put The Rock in a movie and not take his clothes off. So.
Well, and this one is very self-aware of itself. Yes. But even in going back to the original, I think everyone... Look, I think everyone questioned their sexuality when watching Baywatch. So I think
So it's a good point.
Open the door for everyone.
This is a different thing. Okay, fine.
All right, cool. All right, so we're going to move into our final section, the teaching tweet. Ashley, what is that?
In 140 characters or less, Professor Jason is going to sum up everything we just talked about for Baywatch.
If you like the ocean and slow motion, then you'll probably like Baywatch. But for the love of God... don't watch Baywatch Nights. That's it.
And you can go find that on our Twitter at GHL Podcast.
All right, that is it for this episode.
Baywatch Nights any dumber than S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah.
Probably not.
No, they're probably pretty equal.
Okay.
All right. All right, that is it for this episode on Baywatch. It is in theaters sometime after you listen to this podcast. Go find it. It's out there.
May 25th.
Yeah, there you go. Nick, please tell everybody out there on the internet where they can find you, what some stuff you're working on. Please, like, tell us everything you're doing.
Look, you can find me at Dick Fundy on Twitter and other social media platforms, but just don't be a weirdo about it. I'm one of three guys on the Team Tiger Awesome show that I do with my two friends and writing partners that Jason was on.
It's a very funny show.
Yeah.
Much funnier than this.
You know, enjoy it. We talk about, we just had Hal Rudnick on and we talked about how to have sex with movie villains.
All right.
Jason came on and we talked about how to have sex with superheroes.
That's right.
So
that's right.
It's one of those.
There's a lot of fun topics on that show.
Yeah. I got a couple things coming up. The biggest thing is probably when this comes out, I'll have a sketch on The Rock's channel. So look for that.
Nice. I'm
doing some stuff with the boss. So yeah, you know.
All right, cool.
All that. Just, you know. Don't be a weirdo.
Well, if you also want to be a really cool person, you can go over to iTunes, Stitcher, Audioboom, subscribe to Geek History Lesson. And when you're over there, please leave us a 5-star review And it really helps the show, helps us in the search algorithm. And Ashley, if they want to suggest future crazy syndicated TV shows that we can do Geek History Lessons on, where can they do that?
They can do that at facebook.com/geekhistorylesson and on Twitter at GHL Podcast. There's a ton of ways to contact us in both of those places.
You can find me on Twitter at Jawin, J-A-W-I-I-N, Ashley V. Robinson for Ashley, and at GHL Podcast for the podcast. That's it. I'm Jason Inman.
I'm Ashley Victoria Robinson.
Mr. Nick Mundy, would you please give a sign out and a goodbye to our friendly listeners?
Oh, Christ! Hobie's drowning! We'll be right back.